2012 was another year of population growth in most of Southeast Alaska, and our weekly essay feature. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. 2012 was another year of population growth in Southeast Alaska. In fact, the numbers of people living in the region reached an all-time high. Joe Vicknicki has this report.
The Department of Labor estimates the state's population has grown by a little more than 3% over the past 2 years, gaining more than 22,000 people. In Southeast, the growth during that time has been nearly 4%. State demographer Eddie Hunsinger says the region has gained about 2,800 people over that time.
Southeast has been gaining population over the past couple of years. This last year, 11 to 12, there wasn't as much gain as there was between 10 and 11. But they have been having some population gains. And they've been gaining in the past year, and that's more than they did at all over the previous decade. In the 2000s, many of the Southeast region communities lost population, so any gains at all are a little bit different than we saw in the previous decade.
The estimate for Southeast is over 74,400 people. That's the highest it's ever been. The region's largest population growth has been in the city and borough of Juneau, which gained more than 1,500 people over the past 2 years. The increases are attributed to natural growth, or more births than deaths, as well as new people moving into Southeast. And Hunsinger notes that the gains are not just limited to the largest communities. The only areas seeing declines in the past 2 years were Skagway and Yakutat. Melani Shivens with the Juneau-based consulting firm Scheinberg Associates points out that the region's numbers have been rising since 2007.
The story that has been told about Southeast Alaska is that we're having downward trends, we're losing population, and when you look at the numbers now, you see that's not true anymore, that we ended that in 2007, and 2012 was our top population year ever in the history of the region. And so I think it's really, if you're looking at the numbers as a whole, it really tells a different story about what we are now and where we're headed as a region now.
The late 90s and early 2000s saw a loss of timber jobs in Southeast, along with falling salmon prices and other economic factors that combined to drop the region's population. Shivan says several factors have reversed that trend, including record high prices for minerals and the opening of the Kensington Mine, along with other mining exploration that has boosted employment opportunities in Southeast. She also points out that Alaska is enjoying a relatively low unemployment rate compared to the rest of the country.
When we have difficult times with the economy nationwide, people come to Alaska looking for jobs. And really what we see in terms of that immigration is that half of the immigration is coming from out of state. And if we kind of dig into who those people are using the American Community Survey, we see that on average, those arriving from out of state tend to be young, single, and highly educated, and really not finding employment opportunities down south, and so moving up here. And so those lower unemployment rates definitely help us in terms of being able to attract people to the region.
Shivens believes the region's population growth will slow because of housing shortages in some communities for the new arrivals, as well as an improving national economy and an uncertain future for mineral prices. Scheinberg Associates publishes a report on economic and population trends called Southeast by the Numbers. That's for Southeast Conference, a group of communities and businesses. Shelley Wright is the regional organization's executive director.
Well, I think the opportunity in Southeast Alaska is coming around again. We have a lot of opportunity in the fishing industry. The mining industry is certainly on the upswing. I think there's a desire for people to come home, to be part of the community that they came from. And I think people are finding ways to do that.
The Department of Labor's annual estimates are based on a count of permanent fund dividend applications and other data. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
As the report mentioned, Haines' population has been increasing over the years, while Skagway's has been down. You can see the numbers for yourself at the State Labor Statistic website or through a link on our KHNS News webpage. We have a clarification from one of our stories in our last newscast. We told you the Bureau of Land Management had to reschedule public meetings this week in Skagway and Haines about the Ring of Fire Management Plan. BLM is working to reevaluate the management plan for a parcel of more than 300,000 acres of mountain terrain near the U.S. and Canada border northwest of Haines. The agency has come up with four options for the plan and has identified one of those as its preferred option. However, the Haines Borough clarified on Thursday it has not taken a position on any of the options. Borough Manager Mark Ernest did write in an email that there may be some benefit to reopening up BLM land to heliskiing in reducing the concentration of heliskiing on state lands, which may have a benefit to the wildlife. But he has not taken a position on the BLM's preferred option. Neither is Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott, who said she was reserving judgment on any of the options until the public meetings were held. Scott Sundberg of Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures says his company does support the BLM preferred option D, which would open the area to heliskiing and summer commercial helicopter operations. Sundberg wrote in a written statement that the BLM lands are remote, where activities like heliskiing, helicopter hiking, and summer glacier trekking can thrive. Sundberg said because there are already some goats collared and steadied in the area, the goat control area should not remain closed to commercial activities, but instead BLM should study the collared goats to determine if there is a positive or negative interaction between the activity and goat populations. We posted Sundberg's written statement along with this clarification on our KHNS News webpage. Public comment on the plan is being accepted through March 14th. You can find more information on the BLM website or through a link on our KHNS News website. And we'll update you when the BLM reschedules the public meetings for Haines and Skagway. And now for our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. Here's local writer Diane LaCourse.
I wheeled my luggage into the sultry heat and throngs of people crowding the Chennai Airport exit and scanned the area for my ride. After several awkward minutes, I drew a breath of relief. Namaste, I said to my driver. Namaste, roughly translated, means the God in me greets the God in you. This was my third trip to the Oneness University, whose mission is to awaken humanity. I initially questioned being gone on December 21, 2012. What if the world really did end when I was in India? Yet the passion to awaken trumped my fears. If the world is going to end, it doesn't matter where I am. Rather than celebrating solstice in Haines, I stood at the edge of a life-transforming experience of which I was clueless. I arrived November 22nd. And joined 1,200 other participants from 40 nations, representing people of all faiths and religions or no religion. For 31 days, we prayed, meditated, danced, cried, laughed, and sweated during processes designed to raise our consciousness through divine grace. The monks, or dasas, instructed us to allow rather than resist whatever came up, and to experience each moment fully, be it joy or pain. Be a warrior, they said. Whatever you do for you, you do for 100,000 others. I'm good at suppressing painful things. I've done it all my life. Face it, the Dasa said. Joy is on the other side of suffering. I experience some pain, though generally I remain calm and quiet. Secretly, I envied those who in very high states giggled with causeless joy. On December 21st, I stood with friends on a temple balcony overlooking the crowd below and watched as the sky lit up with colorful streamers of light that shimmered as they softly fell. A profusion of fireworks enveloped the night sky and floated down like crystalline snowflakes. I erupted with giggles as I jumped up and down. That's when my inner shift happened. There, on an otherwise clear night in India, on December 21st, 2012, I felt joy, gratitude, and an expansive peace that can only be attributed to divine grace. It wasn't only personal. I believe that date marks the beginning of a shift for humanity, a transformation of consciousness to higher states of love, happiness, compassion, and connection with all that is. At Oneness, we had our own issues, pains, regrets, and charges. And though a small group, collectively we represented a slice of humanity. In spite of our differences, inside we are the same. Despite the horrific events happening in our world, I believe there is hope for a brighter future. Spiritual awakening is happening now. And so, my friends, I honor that place in you in which the entire universe resides. I honor that place in you which is of light, of love, of truth, and of peace. When you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, we are one. Namaste.
That was Diane LaCourse with our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. If you live in Haines, Klukwan, or Skagway and would like to take part in this weekly essay feature, please contact us at news@khns.org. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.